The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. G'day and welcome to this Stockhead podcast. I'm your host, Peter Strachan. Today we are revisiting Metgasco's projects in the Cooper-Arimanga Basin and the Perth Basins, and following up on its recent capital raising after making a significant gas discovery at the Vale prospect in the Cooper Basin. To assist us with this update on Metgasco, we are delighted again to welcome Ken Aitken, who's the company's Chief Executive Officer. Welcome, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. It's good to be back, and I'm really pleased to have some good news to update you with.
So, Ken, since we spoke earlier in the year, the company has migrated its office to Perth, which is probably a very good thing given what's going on with the pandemic. But let's begin with what I would classify as the most exciting and significant news about the company, and that's its discovery in the Cooper-Arimanga Basin. Can you tell us about the Vale gas discovery and the work to stimulate and flow test that well?
Sure. It was back, we spud the well back in December last year, not long after I did the last podcast. And we finished drilling, went through the reservoir in about the middle of January 2020, and we discovered a gross 312-metre column of gas, and that turned out to be 80 metres net within the Pachawara Pyramid formation, the porosities ranged that from about 6% up to about 10 or 11%. At that time, we managed to get a good resource booking of 37.7 BCF gross. That's about 9.4 BCF net to Metgasco at 25% ownership.
Okay, so that's a good bit of gas to have, like just over 12 billion cubic feet to your account. What plans does the company now see for potential Vale field development, including future drilling on the prospect?
Yeah, so after we drilled the well in January, we followed it up with a stimulation and test program that was in the months of July and August. And we did six fracture stimulations in the Pachawara, and we tested after the successful fracture stimulations. We tested the well at a stable rate of about 4.3 million standard cubic feet a day. That stabilized on a 36-64 inch choke through the separator at quite a healthy wellhead pressure of about 950 psi. So we reckon that we, on production, because that was tested through the casing, we actually hadn't run the completion yet. The joint venture believe, based on sort of modeling, that when we put the 2 3/8 completion in, which will occur in October, end of the second half of this month, we'll be able to get 5 million standard cubic feet a day out of the well. So what that's done is, it's really good news, because what it's done is opened up the area around. There's lots of, we've got 3D over quite a large area of the ATP 2021 license, and there's a couple of other follow-up locations. So the next step for the joint venture is to go through a sort of financial investment decision, if you want, in the project. We've already started the pre-engineering for the pipeline. Our plan is to tie the pipeline into Santos's Beckler field, which is about 12 kilometres to roughly southwest of where Vale's situated. That's in the South Australia government jurisdiction. So we're doing the pipeline engineering. We're also working with the reserve auditor to get our contingent resources moved through to reserves. And we reckon that the size of this field would give us a 20-year field life. And we're planning a number of other wells. Now, Vintage, who are their operator, a month ago put out an announcement, which was copied to our platform, that's saying that there's going to be up to two wells drilled before the end of this financial year, and also the Odin well, which is a commitment farming well, which I mentioned in the last podcast. So could be up to three wells, both to develop Valley and also add to the reserves that we hopefully have booked shortly.
Yeah, and so Odin's a standalone prospect, but it's in the same region. Would these wells that Vintage is planning, would they just be vertical wells, or are they looking at horizontal completions in the structure?
No, we're looking at vertical wells. It's quite a long interval, and the majority of we did run a production log during the flow test, because we didn't have a number of packers in the well. We had just had a packer above all of the zones, and all of the zones are contributing, some more than others. So, but it really does help us to get the maximum amount of reserves converted from contingent resource. So it's vertical wells that are being planned, and casing complete, drill casing complete, about $5 million.
Yeah, which is cheaper. It's much cheaper to drill the vertical wells than a horizontal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so the vertical wells for development of the Patchawar is the way to go. The first Valley appraisal well, or development well, if you want to call it that, is going to target the Tulachi. The Tulachi is the other main reservoir, gas-bearing reservoir. We found some of that in the in Valley 1, but it wasn't fully developed, and we were not 100% sure if it was hydrocarbon or water wet. So we're going up dip on the to find an up structure Tulachi. So we'll have a Tulachi and Patchawar. The Patchawar we're pretty sure is there, and the Tulachi will be some upside to the reserve. So it's, the first well is going to be really interesting, where we target a new play.
Is this standard Cooper Basin gas target with sort of dry gas with maybe 12 or 14% carbon dioxide? Is that the
That's right, yeah. It's a little bit more CO2. We've got, it's about sort of 18, 19. But the, it's standard Cooper Basin production, gas production.
And that'll be toll processed by Santos.
That's right. We've approached them. In fact, when I was farming out, we owned 18 months ago, MakeGasco owned 100% of this. And we did farm it down to both Vintage, 50% and operator to Vintage, and then 25% to Bridgeport. And that gave us a free well. So we didn't pay any cost for that discovery well. So we've only started contributing to the costs at the point of the fracture stimulation and testing. Yeah.
So the actual geology, the technical results you've got from Vale, does that support the drilling of Odin, or is Odin still an unknown quantity?
Well, Odin's very much a lookalike. If you look at it on the seismic, Odin's a lookalike of Vale. It's very close to Odin's. What we did with Odin is we recognized Odin as potentially the first well before Vale, but part of the structure went into South Australia, into Senex's license. So we targeted Valley as the first well of the joint venture, and then we did a deal with Senex late last year, where we own some of it. So I think Senex kept about 12.5%, something like that, and we basically have a slightly lower percentage of that. So it made sense for us to get that deal done, have some ownership rather than have a problem across a lease line from one state to the next.
Yeah, you don't want to give Senex a free kick in any case.
Yeah,
So if all goes well, that field will be producing 10 to 15 million cubic feet of gas once you've got it fully developed.
That's right. We're looking at the pipeline size right now. We're sort of certainly between 10 and 15, about 12 or 13 for the size of pipeline we're looking at, and the back pressure. So we think this is 20 years, and that's just on the 37 BCF. But one of the things, Peter, I want to emphasize is that we frack 9 to 10% porosity of rock and got good gas flows. So the whole area around, it's a bit like a jewellery box. We've found a diamond in the Valley structure, but there's numbers of other structures, and there'll be other diamonds and pearls and everything else that goes with it. So for me, this is the this will be a foundation. We'll get a foundation gas customer. That's obviously very important.
Yeah.
And then we'll, then we'll start adding the Odin structure. Kinta, which was a well that was the only well drilled in the ATP 2021 license, that was a discovery. It found 9% porosity rock, and it just wasn't fracked. The tools melted at high temperature, and it was a bit of a kerfuffle, unfortunately, for Santos.
Yeah.
But their problem is our gain, because you twin that well right now, you could frack it and get gas production out of it. So we're in a really good position here to build on this valley discovery, and compared to, I guess, some of the basins, such as here in the prolific Perth Basin, these reserves might seem a little bit smaller than some of the other companies. However, we're going to add incrementally 30, 40s and 10s and 15s to that reserve base, and we could have quite a significant field.
Yeah, and you can get it to market easily. So that's, I think, the thing about it is, I guess, the porosity, whilst the porosities mightn't be huge, does the permeability change very much in these fields across them, or do you expect it to be pretty much the same?
It's easy to say no, but we look at the seismic and look at the configuration of it and see how repeatable it is across the size of the valley structure. There can be changes, and we in fact, I should take my hat off to our fracture stimulation experts, Griffin. They did a very good job on designing and fracking and changing things in the field that really make a difference when you get productivity results like we got, which is really top drawer for this area.
Yeah, no, it's a good flow.
You've got to get the right people, and yeah, it can be variable, but we're confident that as we move away from this valley discovery within the structure, we'll not only find repeatable results in the Patchawarra, but we'll find Tilachi that may be conventional, so it could be frackable, it could be conventional as well. So
yeah,
lots to look forward to.
So a busy 2021 developing Valley, and also having a look at Odin.
For sure. Yeah, no, we want in the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're hopefully going to get our reserves study complete. We're talking to a number of gas customers in the market. One, of course, would be Santos. But there's a numbers that we're looking at. And the gas price, although it's not where it was in Eastern States 12 months ago, it's still very good. And therefore, smaller volumes become quite profitable close to an existing infrastructure.
Yeah, we take a long-term view. I don't think the sort of $4 and $5 a gigajoule is going to stand for too long.
Well, we're very confident we'll get something above that. But everybody wants to get a good, solid foundation contract with an aggregator or one of the bigger customers that has some flexibility, so you can quickly add to the your gas contract. So that's what we're looking for. We're out there, and we've got an excellent gas marketer in the job, which is pretty important.
Oh, good. Okay, so Ken, can we turn now to what is your now home base of Perth and the Perth Basin? What's the current plans around drilling of the Cervantes oil prospect up in the North Perth Basin?
Yeah, when I last talked to you back in December last year, the well was planned for, I think, spudding either this month or last month, September, October this year. What we did is we spent a lot of time on the environmental planning side, and I've got Aztec Well Construction contracted to do my drilling planning. Aztec has done really good work with Bahara Springs Deep and Xanadu for Norwest in the last few years. So it's one of the challenges of drilling Cervantes is that we're inside a nature reserve. So what we did is we decided to go straight to the EPA rather than go to DEMIRS and ask for approval, because we're in that nature reserve. I had some experience from 10, 12 years ago with Origin of drilling a well very close to the coast and dealing with the EPA. So we've gone to the EPA, and what they've asked for, we did some sort of botany surveys from previous years ago. But they asked for a more up-to-date spring calendar year survey. So in September, we completed that. So that slightly delayed us into next year. So we're going to be drilling subject to the contracting of a rig around about March, April next year. So not disappointing a little bit, but however, what we were keen to do is minimize our environmental footprint. And what we've done there is we're actually going to drill a 1 kilometer deviated well. We're staying very close to the railway line up there within the nature reserve. And we're making sure that we use existing tracks from the back end of the Cervantes plant. And just thinking of the environmental side as well to minimize that environmental footprint to help that approval to go through. So we're confident that we'll get environmental approvals and HSE approvals through by year end. And then that'll allow us to drill in the first quarter next year.
So can you remind the listener about the size of the prize there and how deep that well is going to be?
Yeah, so it's a 2,600 meter well. So for instance, the current rig that's drilling the West Erregulla 3 well is drilling to 5,000 meters. So we're looking at different rigs. We're looking at shallow rigs as well as active rigs in the basin. So it's 2,600 meters, a long hole because we're drilling a little bit deviated. It doesn't go much above about 30 odd degrees. So we can drill with a much smaller capability rig than the ones that are active. What we're doing is targeting the Dongara and the Highcliffe. The Dongara produced 5 million barrels in the nearby Jingamaya field, and it also produced 7 million barrels in Hovia. So if you look at a map of where we're drilling, we're really in a line all the way out to Cliffhead. Now, Cliffhead produces from Irwin River Cold Measures. And it also produces from the High Cliff. So what we're trying to do here is unlock the same reservoir that Bahara Springs Deep and Strike at West Erregulla. They've unlocked gas discovery in the High Cliff and Kingia, and we're looking at exactly the same, the Kingia and High Cliff. It's pushed upwards because we're in a...
You're up in a horse. Block.
We're up in a horse block very close to the coast. And it... Size-wise, it's one of the biggest undrilled reservoirs in the Perth Basin. We think the oil's been a bit forgotten. There's been a second wave of gas discoveries. Now, we want to be at the forefront of the second wave of oil discoveries in the Perth Basin. And 50 million barrels is huge. And when the oil price, remember it went negative a few months ago back in the US?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was some questions, well, is it still worth drilling? This well is... It was robust. It was down about $30 a barrel because the size of it and being very close to a production facility where we've already got a tariff already.
So your target of 50 million barrels a day, is that a mean estimate or P50 or how?
No, that's a recoverable P50, 15. You know, an actual risk who did an independent analysis of the recoverable reserve, they came up with 17 million. And just out of interest, RCMA, who we farmed into, Vintage and ourselves farmed into this particular exciting exploration prospect, they recently relaunched their farm out of all of the other areas in L14, and they came up with 49 million barrels recoverable. So there's a wide range there. I'm comfortable with the 15 because you can make a lot of money at 5 million barrels. Yeah. And I did so at Jingamaya.
15, 15, 15, 15, 15. Yeah, okay.
Not 50, maybe.
So is the funding's in place for this project?
Yeah, so we own some buyer in shares. So we've got 40 million of buyer in shares. Now, their price... back in sort of May, June, July, at the height of the pandemic, it was it's been up at 30 and it's been down at 10 or 12. Currently, it sits about 19 cents. So we have about 7.4 million currently at the 19 cents. Now, some of that is earmarked to go back to shareholders, and the decision of that will be taken within the next few months, in the run-up to the AGM. The shareholders would have to approve that. So we've got a commitment to shareholders that we're going to return about 20 million of these shares, about half of them. But we've been watching that depending on where the share price is and what our commitments are on cost. So on the funding side, back in July, we did a capital raising. We did that for precisely these reasons, Peter. We want to make sure that, I mentioned we got a free kick on the drilling of Valley, but we knew there was a fracking program, a testing program, and a completion program coming up. So we put a placement to high net worth investors. We raised $1.38 million at 2.5 cents, which was a 24% discount at the time. And we also went out with an SPP, and that finished in early September. It was oversubscribed, and we got 3.75 million applied for, but we scaled it back to 2.6 million. So in total, we raised about 4 million. So between, and that was for the development, that was for the pipeline on Valley, the completion and the pipeline, and was also to progress Cervantes.
So has the makeup of the company share registry changed much with these placements and SPPs? And what are the implications for ownership in the future?
When we did, you know, as you'll know, when you do an SPP, it means that everybody has the chance. There's a capped amount that you can apply for. And so some of our bigger shareholders went into the placement. So the current shareholding of our biggest two shareholders, Milbana, is now 20%, and prior to the placement and raising, I think it was closer to 27-28%. Keybridge in now in its two sort of entities is around 14%. So we brought new shareholders into the stock, and there was a big big demand. Lots of people who were interested in coming in, and we got, you know, so it was really encouraging for, you know, for the company to see that our strategy of focusing in on the two best onshore basins in the country, I believe, Perth and the Cooper. There's a lot of real interest out there for investors to come in.
Yeah, no, as you said, it was over well supported, the SPP. Just trying to get my head around the concept of giving shareholders back shares in Byron, and then the next week going back to them and raising more money to do the ongoing development of these other projects.
Well, I think what it does is, you know, we want to be a little bit different, and there's not many companies hand back money to shareholders, and Metgasco have done this in the past when they got the sort of money from the New South Wales coal seam gas development, Northern Rivers, which
from the New South Wales government.
Yeah. So that some of that money was handed back to shareholders as well. So we like to be a little bit different, and what it does is it rewards shareholders for sticking with us. It also allows some new shareholders to come in if those that get the Byron shares don't want to invest it. I'd be disappointed if they didn't, but if they didn't, they've got a choice. So I accept it's not typical of small cap companies, but we like to be a little bit different, and handing some money back to shareholders isn't a bad thing for them.
Well, Ken, thanks for coming in. I think that's an interesting story. We're going to see some more work next year in the Perth Basin, and then you're gearing up to do the field development, and we'll see what vintage the operator comes up with there. And that's so really in a space of 18 months or so, you could well be, you know, banking a check every month from the gas flow.
That's right. To pivot to being a producer is very pleasing for me, and I've been in the role just over 2 years now. And I've always pretty much worked in production companies. So it was always, what's the fastest route to production? Because it can pay the bills, it can allow you to do further deals. And we are actively looking at different other things as well, where, you know, it's been difficult this year. I won't say we've spent that much time on it, but we want to grow. And this is very pleasing to be able to move into to be a producer, a small cap producer. There's not too many of them. And we want to join the list.
Great, Ken. We'll look forward to having you in early in the new year. So thanks for coming in.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Peter. Thanks for your time.